Today I'm wrapping up with a fourth message about unlocking faith. If you missed any of the message, you can catch them on our online podcast and hear them there. But today I'm talking about enduring faith. How do we make our faith last? Years ago, there's a company called Timex that had a slogan about their watches. And I want you to watch an old vintage Timex commercial.
Ladies and gentlemen, a good evening to you. This is John Cameron Swayze for Timex Watches. I don't have the world on a string, but tonight we do have an exciting new live demonstration of the superior waterproof and shock-resistant qualities of Timex watches, for which we will use a handsome Timex Marlin with the slim, smart-looking lines you ordinarily find in the most expensive watches. Yet the Timex Marlin is priced as low as $9.95. Now we have attached a Timex Marlin to the arrowhead, and we're going to ask Bill Brining to give us a demonstration. Bill, will you shoot this arrow through that pane of glass right there?
Try.
Good. I'm sure you'll agree with me, ladies and gentlemen, if that Timex comes through this live torture test, it can stand up to just about anything that may happen to it in daily wear. Billy, all set? Anytime. I don't know what I can say to add to that. Bill is going to retrieve that arrow with the Timex still fixed to the arrowhead from the water. Thank you very much, Bill. Thank you. Now let's see how it took this torture test. Yes, it's still running perfectly. And if I can get this at just the right angle, ladies and gentlemen, you can see for yourself. There, you see that second hand going around? You know, only Timex, with its exclusive V-conic movement, can take such a licking and keep on ticking. And you can be sure your Timex Marlin is waterproof. It says waterproof right here on the dial, over on the back of the case. It is protected against damaging dust and dirt and has an unbreakable mainspring and is also anti-magnetic as well. Yet the Timex Marlin is priced as low as $9.95. Another reason why more people buy Timex than any other watch in the world.
Does anybody still have a Timex Marlin on? No. If you're 80 or older, you might remember this commercial. But Timex had a slogan. What was it? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Did you realize, though, they have not used that slogan for over 26 years? Yet many of you readily recalled it, so you recalled your age at the same time. Interesting enough, I asked a few of a younger generation, and I said, do you know Timex? They know what Timex is, but I'm like, you know what their slogan is? Or have I have no idea. It's amazing, though, how we forget and yet how we remember. Because one thing we don't know, we don't hear. And one of the things is, on the Timex, the idea was that simply no matter what you would do to the Timex watch, right, it would just keep working. And church, our faith needs to be a lot like that. We should be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. There are many in our world, though, that are attempting or trying to destroy and disrupt our faith. But we need to keep ticking away. We also need to remember that we have an enemy who's against us. Satan hates your faith. One of the foundational reasons that he fell from his position in heaven is that he misdirected his faith in his Creator. He lost faith in his Creator. He misplaced his faith. He thought it was about him. And he challenges us today in our faith. He wants you to misplace your faith. Because foundational to faith is belief, trust, and most importantly, relationship. How many of you have a relationship with your car and you have this idea that when you go out there, it's going to crank? Right? You just have faith that most likely, because you drove it here, it cranked. Now, there may have been some that got up and cranked the car this morning that you don't have a lot of faith in now because it stuttered or whatever. But interestingly enough, if you went to a car dealership, a used car dealership, I don't even know if you trust the person trying to sell the car, right? Much along the car that they try to sell you because you don't have a relationship. The same thing in our personal relationships. Trust, faith, comes from that relationship. We have a relationship with God. We can trust Him. Today, I want us to grow richer in our faith. I want us to grow deeper in our relationship with God. But how do we increase our faith? Now, one of the answers to this is that we need to add something to our faith. And we're going to talk about that. Because I don't care how good a Timex watch is, it is worthless if it has no batteries in it. Second hand won't move. 2 Peter 1, Peter teaches us incredible things in this chapter. And I want you to listen to it. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I also have it on the screen this morning. From the New Living Translation, it says, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and the fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. We thank You for the power of the Word. And Lord, we ask You to help us to hear it today, to put it into action and obey it. Lord, help us to have an enduring faith. Help us grow today. Grow in our trust and our confidence of You. Help us to learn to really love You as You really love us. And this we ask in no other name than the one who came to save us. And by the power of the one who came to fill us, the Holy Spirit, to instruct us and guide us into truth. Help us, we pray today. Amen. Now, time doesn't really allow me today to teach in the sense of teaching, to expound on all the verses that we're going to look at today. But I do want you to notice four things in the very first four verses of this chapter. First verse, Peter is writing to people who have faith. Church, that is you. You are people who have put your faith in God. So by the way, this is for you. Second verse, grace, and he says more grace and peace can be yours if you continue to grow in your knowledge of God. I'm glad that we want to know God and we want to grow, amen? That's what we desire. In the third verse, I want you to catch this. By God's divine power, He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You are lacking nothing. You have everything you need to live a godly life. And then in the fourth verse, God has given us great and precious promises. And He did that to help us avoid and to overcome worldly lust and worldly desires. You are going to be tempted. Temptation will come your way. But you have faith in God. And you have faith in a powerful God. But now listen to verse 5 as Peter continues. In view of all this, and what he's making reference to is the first four verses that he started this letter with. There is something you need to do. In view of all of this, make every effort. Let me pause for a moment. How long should we continue in our faith? How much effort should we put into it? Let's give it a try for a week, right? And if it really doesn't work out, let's quit. When do we quit? We never do. And that's why you got to make every effort to do what? To respond to God's promises. Keep working at it. Church, this is the beginning of our endurance. We start with faith, and then I want you to hear what Peter tells us. Supplement your faith. So I'm going to add something to my faith. I'm going to supplement it so I can endure. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with what? Love for who? For everyone. Listen to verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 9 says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Church, the reason I have faith is I believe that Jesus died on a cross and he forgave me of my sins. That's where my faith starts. But I want my faith to grow. I want my faith to endure. I want to be lasting. I want to keep making every effort to grow in my faith. Church, we need to grow in our faith. We need to endure in our faith. Now, the way a watch needs batteries, faith needs spiritual batteries. Right? Faith without spiritual batteries would be dead. We're going to grow in our faith. It won't grow without something. James puts it this way. James 2:26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is what? It's dead. Oh, but I believe. I got faith. I know. But you're not doing anything about it. Then really your faith is dead. I'm not making this up. This is the word of God. We have got to do something with our faith. So since you have faith, you need to add some spiritual batteries to it. Now, in the passage, in this passage, 2 Peter, where we are given a list of things that will help our faith grow and mature and endure. And the first one mentioned is moral excellence. Church, since you have this relationship with God, you have been called to be a person of excellent moral character. Character is the reality of who you really are and what you really do. There's a quote that says, your ideal is what you wish you were. Your reputation is what people say you are. Your character is what you really are. And you need to be people of deep, godly character that reveals itself consistently every day in your life. Whether you're in public or private, your character ought to be the same. I believe that our faith is reflected in the way we feel, in the way we think, and the way we behave every day of our lives. Our moral excellence should be evident to those around us. And it should be enduring in our lives because why? We represent God and we want to do so in a great way. And we do it everywhere we go. Moral excellence is simply defined as this. Ready? Let's make it simple. The quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. Church, we need to be people of virtue. Amen? Then Peter mentions this other idea of adding to moral excellence. He says, do it with knowledge. Now, it is notable that character precedes or comes before knowledge. It's not to say that knowledge isn't good. In fact, we're going to talk about knowledge. But knowledge without character does not impress God. Knowing the truth and living the truth are two different things. Though some have virtue as a believer, all of us need to continue to grow and know God more. I mean, how many of us have achieved the highest level of moral excellence with the full knowledge of God? No, that's why we've got to grow. Our knowledge and our understanding of Him needs to grow or it will stagnate. Or even decay, and it will quit growing in your life. If you're not keep putting those spiritual batteries with your faith, it will die. Hosea 4:6, he writes, "My people are destroyed, though, from a lack of knowledge." God is saying, my people are being defeated. My people are being overpowered because they really don't know me. Proverbs teaches us this. My son, if you accept my words, how many have accepted his words? You really have. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying, catch that word, that's an action word, and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Church, if we want to keep on ticking for God, we must complement our faith with knowledge of God. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. And that's what Paul writes to us. And he begins because he becomes to know God. A third thing we're told in verse 6 is we need self-control. Now, I know there's people who say, well, I just can't control myself. Church, how in the world do we ever believe or fall into a lie like that from the enemy? Did you know you have the Spirit of God within you? And God speaks to us and he tells us what to do and what not to do. The problem is we're the ones that choose to ignore or to flat out disobey what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Proverbs 5 again teaches us this. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes. They catch and hold him. If you keep staying in sin, it will hold you captive. And listen to verse 23. He will die for lack of what? Self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. It's the fool that says, there is no God. I have faith that there is a God. And he is for me. And he is helping me. He is forgiving me. He is walking with me. And therefore, I don't have to be foolish. I can have self-control. Next time you're tempted to lose control, we call it, people say, well, I lost my temper. What you lose is your temperance. That's where the word comes from. Temperance is self-control. You need to remember that through God, you have the power to walk in self-control because the power of the Holy Spirit is in you. 2 Timothy, Paul says, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and what? See, so many people walk around, oh man, I want the Spirit's power in my life. I want the love of the Spirit to flow through me. What about self-control? Then you might be loving people. And God just might choose to flow his power through you because you're operating now in the fruit of the Spirit. Access self-control in your life and let it be added to your faith. Next, we need to add patient endurance. Anybody need that? Perseverance in our life. Since you have faith, you ought to persevere. It's our faith and our trust in God that helps us to endure and have patience when we go through trials. You will go through trials in your life. You're going to need patient endurance with your faith. How many remember Charlie Brown? Anybody 30 and younger? Okay, yeah, okay. Charlie Brown always seemed to have something going on in his life. You know what I'm talking about. There's this one time Charlie Brown is at bat and strike three happens. He struck out again. He slumps over to the bench and says, rats, I'll never be in the big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but I know I'll never make it. But Lucy, don't you love Lucy or not? Lucy comes, sits down beside Charlie Brown to talk with him and says, Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set yourself more immediate goals. Charlie looks up and says, immediate goals? Lucy says, yes. Start with the next inning when you go out to pitch. See if you can walk out on the mound without falling down. Encouraging, discouraging. But the point of the story is this. Do the next thing well. James 1:3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith, the testing of what? Produces what? Perseverance. So you're going to be tested, but it's there to add to your faith by perseverance, by endurance. Persevere through the next storm. Don't worry about what the next storm might be. Work through the one that you're in now. Hang in there. Don't worry about everything else that might come your way. God's grace is sufficient. We just persevere with the task that is at hand. Next on the list is godliness. This is one that most in the church would like to skip over. But it's listed right here carefully and placed there because it needs to be part of our faith. Godliness is a spirit of reverence and respect to God in all matters of life. True godliness understands that God is a holy God. And we must add godliness and holiness to our faith. Now, I'm not talking about, listen carefully, I'm not talking about an outward compliance to certain rules. That's what some will teach you. Boy, if you really just need to show yourself. I'm talking about an inward purity of your heart. Where it's no longer about, I go to church, I have to wear this because what they're going. Who cares what people say about you? If your inside of your heart is pure, you won't matter what they say. But we deal so much, and I know many people struggle with your identity in Christ. And so I was talking with someone this week, and this is something else that we may need to bring up so you can understand who you really are in Christ. Because we got to understand that so that I can begin to walk in a different way in the purity of my heart. We must revere God enough that we would desire to be holy. I don't even know people desire to be holy anymore. I just want to be a churchgoer. I want to be holy. Leviticus 11:44, God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Like it or not, God commands us to be holy. Holiness is not an old-fashioned idea. It should still be the desire of the church, of those who are walking in faith and desire to know the Lord. Proverbs 15:9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. Church, let's go after godliness. And then to our godliness, we need to act with brotherly affection, brotherly love. Church, since you have this relationship, since you have this faith in God, we need to exercise brotherly affection or mutual kindness to others. Far too often, we judge one another and we act in ways that are inconsistent with the name of Christ. 1 John 4, verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. I love God. Lord, that person over there, I don't ever want to hang around them. I don't like them. I don't like the way they're looking at me right now. They don't understand how much I love you and I'm worshiping you. And look, they're not even lifting their hands. Church, was that worship at all? Because other thoughts, negative against relationships. Think about it for a moment. God came to restore relationships. And that's why you cannot say, I love God, and hate your brother or sister. You cannot live that way. In fact, he goes on, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. We have got to care for and be friendly and love each other with this godly, brotherly affection that really needs to flow out of our lives. Jesus himself says in John 13, 35, your love, listen, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In fact, that is really where our faith actually culminates. Because of these things we add to our life, our faith culminates in the very last word that Peter uses here, love. Love everyone, he says. Love everyone. This is the highest form of living. It's a love that doesn't add requirements to it, like, I'll love you if, or I'll love you when. This ultimate unconditional love is something that we need to grow into and then live out through our faith. Did you know that faith and love go hand in hand? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, how many belong to the day? Did you move out of the dark yet? I'm just checking. We belong to the day. Let us be sober, putting on what? Faith and as what? As a breastplate. It's both of them that make up the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. I believe and therefore I know I'm loved, therefore I can do this. And he says, go on, and the hope of the salvation is a helmet. We need the ultimate love of God working through our faith in him who loved us and gave himself for us. That's why we give ourselves for others and we can love them. Church, we need to add all seven of these to our faith if we're going to take a licking and keep on ticking. Let me wrap it up this morning with a couple of thoughts. Character without faith is a cheap veneer. Because it goes nowhere. It's just something that people see, but it doesn't have anything deep behind it. Knowledge without faith is useless information. There's a lot of people who have heard about Jesus. Right now, to them, it's useless information until they apply faith to it. Self-control without faith is ineffective effort. You're just wasting and spending a lot of time. It might be good, but without faith, it isn't productive. Patient endurance without faith is empty at the end. Well, I hung in there, but I didn't have faith. It has no future. Godliness without faith is just mere religion. And there's a lot of pious people out there, but they don't really have faith. Brotherly affection without faith is self-serving. You're just doing a lot of good deeds, but again, it isn't leading somewhere. And then love without faith is not real love. If we would allow, though, these seven things to begin to work in our life and grow in us and begin to mix with our faith, we will become fruitful and productive for the kingdom. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, it is a paraphrase of Scripture, in 2 Peter 1, 5-8, this is the way he phrases it. So don't lose a minute. Don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. One helps the others, and this one helps that one, and all grows our faith. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master, Jesus. Church, we need to grow in enduring faith. Let me close, though, with verses 10 and 11 in this same chapter. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Verse 9 said, if you don't do these things, remember? But listen to verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that we would have enduring faith. And church, by the way, I am looking forward to an eternity with Jesus. I'm looking forward to that. But I want to walk in the glory of His love while I'm here. So church, do not give up. Grow in your faith, in your walk with God, and add these things that we've talked about this morning to your life. Add them as you grow. Pastor Matt, would you come? We need faith, church. Exceptional faith. Remember the first message was about a centurion, and he had exceptional faith. It was different than everybody else. Don't begin to compare your faith to anybody else. Let your faith be exceptional. In your walk, your faith tomorrow could be more exceptional than it was today. But if you're going to sit there and compare your faith to others, you're going to probably come out in second place. But your faith is in God and the exceptional God, because except for God, I couldn't even have faith. So let your faith grow. And let your grace become, or your faith become exceptional in your life. Extreme faith. We talk about extreme sports. How far are you willing to go in your faith? How daring could you be? What feats could be done? I'm told that if you got faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I haven't moved one yet. I feel like my faith is so weak, but you know what? I think I'm ready to try the extreme. Where are we going to unlock faith? Are we ready? Are we really ready to unlock faith in our life? The exceptional, the extreme, the evident faith. That everybody, they just know. You walk into work and people go, what is it about you? Well, I know you've been going through stuff, but you've got so much joy. Why? Because you're evident. It just gushes out of you. I talked about love one time. I'm like, every step, man, I just wish I could go, pff, pff. You know, just God, just pff. I want to be so full like a sponge, but I don't want to be wrung out. I don't want to keep pouring in. I want this evidence so people know that Christ is my Savior. But it's got to be enduring.